And I didn't get the name of that pile that was injured.
I didn't either. I didn't quite get to see him. He was surrounded by, you know, the athletic help there.
Second and five at the 29, 13-40 and counting, a 28-23 Wash U lead. Twins right, single receiver left. It's going to be handed off to Hamilton.
There's got him behind the line. Again.
Nick Montes with the initial contact. But the
that.
Drake Emanuel finishes him off, I believe.
Oh, my God. He there was.
Hang on. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was looking to get the tackler. But I think that was the Drake that finished him off. But Nick Montes wreaked havoc there.
And he then did. Also, he blew that up.
Ja'Kai Witt, the D lineman from Kenosha, also I think was a finisher here. So here it is. Big third down play. Third and long. Pressure.
Get him.
And rush a sack.
Nice sack. That'll be a game changer.
Steven Lazarus all the way back to the 17-yard line, 16-yard line. What a monster play for the Pio defense at the right time.
Absolutely. You know, with a score of 28-23 with all this time left, we're going to get the ball back, a great field position.
Sure
this
do.
Thing's going to change. We're going to go ahead. We're going to have just a great contest.
Andrew Grisick will be punting again for the Bears. He's all the way back at his 4-yard line. J.R. Muth at his own 45, anticipating a big punt here from Grisek. Here's a snap, some pressure from the Pios. Gets off a shorter kick. It's going to bounce.
It's going to go outside. It's going to be a
great field
position.
And it's going to go out of bounds there at the 42-yard line of the Bears. So, as you said, Johnny, Pios will take over with great field position. 12-17 remaining in the third quarter. A 21-10 halftime lead has now become a 28-23 halftime lead, or excuse me, fourth quarter lead. With a lot of time left here, and Pio's really...
Yeah, they're driving the ball, Don.
Yep.
I expect a touchdown here. I mean, I'm just thinking
they're
real positive.
It. Sure. And Mikey Coleman, the Bloomington Fly, on Raby's left. Twins right, single receiver left. Here's a snap. Raby, quick pass. Got Eichstead. Oh, can't hang on. Oh,
almost intercepted.
Almost intercepted there. He bobbled it. It was a high pass from Raby. And we got to check out the defense here. That was number 11. Andrew Dotson almost had himself a pick there in the bobble. As Ike said, tried to hang on there. Clock stops with 12-12, second and 10. And we got Twins left, single receiver right. Coleman on Raby's left. Here's a snap. Raby looking downfield. Now he's going to roll out to his left.
God,
he's got a guy. Caught there
nice.
By Eggstad. Pushed out of bounds. Near first down yardage. And it is. Yeah, at the 29-yard line, they will move the sticks.
Great
you
play.
Know, Raby had room to run, but he saw Eichstad camped out there at first down yardage and did the right thing.
You know, and Eichstad is so athletic. You know, he buttoned hooked. He came back. He saw his quarterback. He came back. And, man, good pass and catch from those two.
Sure.
Been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
Great play.
So Twins right, single receiver left. Coleman on Raby's right. First and 10, 11:46 and counting. Here's a snap. Raby looks to his left downfield. Now he rolls out right. Nope. He's under some trouble. He dumps
it
off to his
left,
just throws it away there, and a smart move by Raby as there were a host of Bears coming after him.
He had like four red shirts.
Number 94, Gray Doster. And they're going to call him intentional grounding. Oh, no.
Jesus.
They're not calling it. They're explaining why it's not. All right, well, let's see. Maybe it is.
Outside of the pocket.
I thought he got outside.
Oh,
No, it wasn't intentional grounding.
Well,
he met the parameters.
Certainly.
Twins right, single receiver left. Coleman on Raby's left. 11:36 and counting on the second and 10. Here's a snap. Raby hands it off to Coleman. He's got room up the middle. As positive yardage. Looks like a 4-yard gain. Stopped about the 26. Oh, wait. Is there a fumble? Wash, you think they have it, but he might have. The ball might have caused it.
He was down by contact.
Looked like he was down by contact. Yeah, so. A lot of excitement from the Bear defense there. They're still arguing. Refs will.
Oh, now they're having a conference.
Yeah, but it looked like the initial call was that he was down by contact. Let's see. Third down, yep. Third and 7 for the Piles after a 3-yard gain. And legs comes in for Coleman here.
Well, it's good to see him back in.
Sure is. Yeah, you know, and again, your trusted junior here. This may be 4-down territory for the Pio, so expect maybe a draw here to legs, but Bears have been really strong against the run.
They have.
Legs on Raby's right. Twins right, single receiver left. Third and seven from the 27. There's a pass. Got a guy. It's caught.
First down.
And that's Josh Hill. Ball came out, but his knee is on the ground. He's near first down yardage. Let's see where they put it.
Oh, so I thought he was.
Right now he's marked a yard short.
Jeez, I thought he had it done.
There are some personnel changes, but the offense is still on the field here. They're calling it fourth and one at the 21 here. You know, I say you do Raby, do a Josh Allen here.
Yeah.
Is he going to go under center? Yeah,
he's
going to go under center.
Under center.
It's going to be the Kush push. Let's see. Here's a snap. Raby pushed forward.
I think he got it.
Looks like he's there, and then some.
Come on, refs.
Ref is at the 20-yard line again. They're trying to say you stop short, but there's no way. Like, yeah, even Coach Buddha comes out to argue. I mean, the Raby's size, just seeing him lean forward, it looks like he beats the marker. So I don't understand what the call is here.
Sure looked like he got it to me.
Me too. Let's see. It's really close here. They're going to do a measurement, it looks like. Let's see. Coach Buddha is pretty upset here.
That is just a poor mark for that ball.
Doesn't look like a great spot. I will say the D line of the Bears had the size advantage there, but again, with that 6'7 center thrusting forward right off the snap, I really thought it was a no-brainer, but they're going to come out to measure, and I really can't predict anything here. It's either first down by an inch or they're short by an inch. Let's see here, and it looks like it's short by an inch.
Sorry.
So the Bears take over on downs, and ditto on that, Johnny. I think there was not a really good spot there, and Coach Buddha's still out in the field. He's like halfway out. He's really upset. He may get called for a penalty, but he is beside himself. He cannot believe that call, nor can I, but the Bears take over on downs. Home sweet home, huh, Johnny? They'll take over
at their
20.
There's just no way. Raby made that by a mile.
And again, he's still.
Coach Buddha's just livid.
Yeah. And
yeah,
unfortunately,
well,
in Division 3, you can't challenge spot of the balls or things like that. There's no. So, but here come the Bears, and they've got a pistol formation as of right now. And again, they're going to stop for a second here, and Coach Buddha's having a discussion here with the ref, and maybe we'll revisit this call. I don't know. I mean, we're up here, Johnny. I get that. But you watch the 6'7 quarterback taking the snap and leaning forward with only 1 yard to go. I mean, he's already at where the D linemen are standing, and they haven't even given resistance yet. So I just don't understand the spot. Now the ref's coming back out, and I just don't think you can change a call, unfortunately, after that. But Coach Buddha at least made his case, and maybe we'll get the next call. 10:15 remaining. Missed opportunity for the Pios, but a great drive. And, again, I don't think it was necessarily their fault. Single receivers both sides, pistol formation. Here's a snap. It's going to go to Fred Ware. He bounces out. Short yardage there. Nick Montes on the tackle. So it's maybe a 3 yard gain, second and seven. Clock winding, 9:59.
Unfortunately, Don, I just think that the Pios got ripped off there.
They did, but you know, you got to move forward. Now it's our turn to make a big play or get a big break. That's the way I see it. Force a fumble, get a pick. Pistol formation again. Fred Ware's back there. Twins left, single receiver right, ball in the right hash, second and seven. Ware moves to the left now. It's handed off to Ware again, and he's met by a host of Pios for a very short gain.
He didn't go anywhere there.
Nope. Witt, 51. Steven Lazarus, 54. Elios Martinez, I think, had a hand in that as well. Montes, I think, it was just a great team effort there by the Pios. So he might have got, they gave him one on that, so it's third and six. 9:09 and counting here.
Be nice
ball
to get
the 24. Big stop.
Guys off the
big
field here.
Sure would. Twins right, twins left. Pistol formation. Now Ware goes to the right. Here's the snap. Rush under some pressure. He rolls out, though. He's got some space. He's going to run it. And he gets patty caked. I think he's short.
I don't know,
Let's see where they mark this. And he's going to be short. It looks like he's going to be short by about a yard or two. And you're right, John. I think on that one, they got away with the hold.
I think they did, too. I don't know. You know, my eyes are deceiving me. Raby didn't get the first. This guy didn't get a hold.
Well, here comes the punt unit. So, let's just make sure we don't force the piles off sides here.
Yeah.
J.R. Muth at his own 35.
I mean, they aren't going to fake it down here
Andrew
on
Grisick.
The 30th.
No,
30th.
But they're going to try to draw us off sides. Yeah, so right. Like fourth and
right.
One.
Yeah,
8-13 and counting.
Okay, let's have a nice clean.
Yeah, exchange here. Here's the snap. Here's a punt. Looks like a shorter punt. They're going to let
away
it bounce. Oh, it takes a pile bounce. Fielded there at the 43, and a good job.
Good job.
The special teams there by number 819. That would have gone to the midfield there. That was Parker Monig or Jacob Weinstein on that. I'm guessing it was Monig. So Piles take over at their own 44 here, Johnny.
8 minutes in the contest.
A lot of time left here.
Going to be a two-possession game here.
Sure will be.
Last man standing.
Twins left, Twins right. Legs on Raby's right. Ball on the left hash. Here's a snap. Fakes the legs. He's rolling out right now. And he's got
nice play
for a short, about a 4 or 5 yard gain. Great little down and out pattern there.
I love those plays.
Clock stops at 7:54. Second and five. Well, Pyle's taking their time here in the huddle as the play clock starts now. 25-second play clock here in college. They come to the line now at their own 49, second and five. Ball at the right hash here. Twins packages both sides, legs on Raby's right. Here's the snap. Raby's going to pass. Rolls out to his right. Goes downfield. Intercepted.
Oh, no.
WashU gets the ball back there, and the intended receiver, I'm thinking it was J.R. Muth, was well covered on that. And a big, big shout out there to Andrew Dotson on that pick. But they haven't moved the chains yet. There might be a penalty here. Let's see. The Pyle offense still on the field, so I'm guessing it's pass interference against number six on the defense. So a huge break for the Piles.
Wow, what a break.
That was Grant Purdy called on that in another part of the field, I believe. So there's your makeup for the poor spot, Johnny, on the fourth and one.
Well, I don't know if
ball's at the 36 now of WashU. 7:22 left.
All right, come on, Piles. Let's take
first
advantage
and 10,
of this.
A fresh set of downs. Twins left, single receiver right, legs on Raby's right. Clock winding now, 7:19. Here's the snap. Raby looking to go to the air to his left. He's got J.R. Muth on the flat there. Not much there and well covered there by the interceptor on that last play who was robbed by a penalty. So it's going to be a very short gain, about 3 yards there. Still positive yardage. Andrew Dotson on that stop. So 6:54 and counting. Ball on the they're calling it the 34. Second and about seven. Twins right, single receiver left. Tight end wing left. Legs on Raby's left. Here's the snap. Raby going to pass again. He's going downfield. He's got him.
Jam! Nice play him right over the center.
Brought down at the 6 yard line. First and goal. Piles. What a pass and
woo-hoo
catch. Muth had to stretch out for that, but he got
he
it.
He did.
Number 30, Joseph Norris with a touchdown-saving tackle. What a play by
Raby. Raby throwing another nice pass.
Man, that was a humdinger.
It was.
Slash LaRue would say. Piles are going to huddle here. Clock winds, 6:23 and counting.
I think they could slow this down a little bit.
Slow it down a lot, yeah.
And I'll take a touchdown no matter when they
single
get
receivers
it
both sides, legs on Raby's right. Tight end wing right. Looks like a double tight end on the right side. Here's a snap. Raby hands off the legs, pushes it forward up the middle, gets a couple there. They get to about the just past the five, so about a 1 or 2 yard gain. Clock winds, 5:53 and counting. There is a Pio shaking up there. Let's see. Now he's going to get helped up. That's Kevin Whitman.
It's like he's gimping. It looks
he's going to go back down. So Steve Staub and company comes out. Injury timeout.
You know, you just feel that the Bears' defense is on their heels a little bit here in the last two drives. Feel like a touchdown ought to be earned here.
You know, and here's where the Pio's got to be careful because Bears showed they can pick the ball. Their coverage has been pretty strong. A lot of those rabies passes have been 100% accurate.
They were in coverage. Yep.
But I still think you got to think pass here, even though you're in a short field. I say you fake the legs and you roll rabies, give rabies some space even as much as you can. I'm also not opposed to the Piles settling for a field goal here, knowing how much time is left, and we can get a big stop, and then all you need is a field goal to win it if we get the ball back. 5:40 is a lot of time. And Piles have all three timeouts, Johnny.
Yeah, so, well, yep. I would love to see a touchdown here. I mean, I accept the analytics on – having a lot of time and getting the two field goals, but there's too many ifs.
I think while they look over Kevin Whitman, we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on the Pio Football Radio. Do not go away. It's a 28-26 score here. 30-second break on you, please.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And we're back, Francis Olympic Field, Don Brown with Johnny Watermelon, and what is, since the Augustana game, the most exciting game of the season here.
It's a lot of fun to watch this one, Don.
Piles were down 21-10 at half. We're denied a first and goal opportunity on a penalty.
It's like he's up and walking off.
And then
got to shake it off.
We're trailing 28-10, and two unanswered touchdowns by the Piles now make it a 28-23 score, and the Piles have second and goal from the four-yard line. High drama here at Olympic Field.
Yes. Just feel that the mojo is with the Piles today.
The X-Man comes right out. Now. He's got legs on his right. Twins right, no receivers left. Tight end wing right. Here's a snap. Raby fakes, looking to his right. He's got a guy. Oh, knocked away at the last second. A
lot of coverage there, dude.
Yeah, well covered there. It was intended for Eichstead. And Dotson got a hand on that, I think, or else that was Joe Norris, I think. Joseph Norris got a finger on that.
Look to me, when all the defenders followed that receiver, that Raby had a lot of room on the right-hand side. Probably could have got to the corner, but
third and goal. And I get, Johnny, unless they get stopped at the one, if they don't make it, I say you get the field goal unit out. Trips right, single receiver left, legs on Raby's right. No tight ends here. Spreading the field out. Here's a snap. Raby's going to keep it. He's going to roll out. He's
going
to get stopped, and he's stopped short of the end zone at about the 2-yard line here. So they're in striking distance. And I think Coach Buda's going to go. The tight ends come back in. I like the idea. It was a great shoestring tackle there. I missed who that tackler was. They are saying that Gray Doster was the one who got a. If Raby just runs up the middle and tries not to break it outside, he might have got there. But but now it is. It's a fourth and two. They're going to hand it off to legs. He pushes his way in there. I don't think he's got it. He's going to be stopped short. And the Bear defense with another big stand. What I like about this, Johnny, is that WashU's got the ball at their own 1-yard line. I don't think they're going to do anything too fancy here.
Yeah, it's a long ways to go, but
Time, three timeouts. I think it was the right call now that I think about it. I did want to see a field goal, but when you got them pinned at their own 1-yard line, you really create some opportunities for your defense. And if Rush decides to throw it, maybe a pick six. Or maybe a fumble in the end zone. A lot of things can happen here in your own territory. The Bears have fumbled once in their own backfield already today here in the second half. They're lining up, twins right, no receivers left. Pistol formation with Hamilton out there. Here's the snap. It's going to go to Hamilton up the middle. And he's stopped. Looks like no gain or very short gain here. So the ball was initially on the three. And they're calling it second and now he's on the three. One of the threes. Second and eight. So a little breathing room. Not much there for the Bears. 4:20 and counting here. Fourth quarter. 28-23. Wash U lead. Piles have scored the last 13 points. This is a second and eight. Piles letting that play clock run down.
Something's up here.
Here's a snap. It's going to go again to Hamilton, and he's got again get stopped. Short gain, maybe another one here. He's looks like they got him marked at the six here, so if nothing else, if the Piles stop him, they have some decent breathing room for Grisak if Grisak does come out to punt. 3:47 and counting here. And not to think too far ahead, Johnny, but the Piles get a stop and they get the ball in good field position. I think you look to score from deeper out. Try not to get in that red zone if you can help it. Trips left, single receiver right, tailback on, rushes left. They're going to wait, let the clock, play clock run down a little more. 10 seconds left here. 3:25 and counting. Here's a snap. It's a handoff again to Hamilton. He's got some good space. He's got first down yardage. He's still at his feet. He's at the 30, the 35, the 40. And Ja'Kai Bohannon finally forces him down at the 47. So,
well, that changes things a tad.
It sure does. Kenneth Hamilton looking to get first down yardage. Gets that and gets the ball.
Oh, refs are talking about something. I'm not seeing
a
flag out there.
Let's see. Yeah.
Maybe an illegal block or man downfield or something.
Boy, that would be huge if that ball comes back.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. I don't know.
Wow, that's another personal foul against the Piles. And this has been a continuing challenge for the Pio defense, these personal fouls.
That field goal was looking pretty good there you were talking about before.
Sure was. Now there's 3:13, so unfortunately. And you got to credit the Wash U O-line. They helped open some things up there for Hamilton on an obvious running play deep in your own territory. They executed. So the ball is now at the 39 of the Pios with 3:13 remaining. And now the Bears are looking to put a nail in the coffin here unless the Piles can come up with a big stop. Even if the Bears don't score, they're taking time off the clock and they're pinning the Piles deep
in
their own territory. So but they line up pistol formation. Twins right, no receivers left, tight end wing right. It's going to go to the handoff. And that's Fred Ware, and he gets stopped for a short gain, about two. 2:43 and counting. Remember, Piles have all their timeouts left here. If they can get a stop or a turnover, it's now, they're calling it second and nine from the 38 of the Piles. But more importantly, the Bears are using the play clock to their advantage here. And
they sure are.
And again, after losing a heartbreaker to Wheaton last week, I'm sure they're going to be very calculated about what they're doing here. They do not want to allow any favors here. Twins left, single receiver right. Tailback now moves to his left here. That's Ware. Ware gets the handoff. Pushes forward up the middle, but stopped. Probably about a three-yard gain there. Ball stopped at the 35. Timeout is called by the Piles. Their first of the half, so they'll have two left. 2:02 remaining. And we'll keep it here, Johnny. I think there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, if you're Wash U, you're sitting in the catbird seat for sure with third and six. Because even if you don't convert, even a squib punt, if you pin the Piles anywhere within their own 20, you're feeling pretty good. Although I will say when you looked at how the Piles ended the first half of the 24-second drive,
yep,
and you look at how the offense has performed, and so we'll see. If I'm to guess what Coach Keene's going to do is I think he's going to spread out the defense, maybe two receivers on each side. He's going to put a tailback in motion, like in a flank position or a receiving position, and spread out the offense enough where he can run it and get first down yardage. Keep the ball in the hands of the guy you trust most. And Rush has demonstrated he can run hard. So, yeah, just like I said, we got twins right here. Pistol formation. Hamilton's out there. Hamilton, the big hero of this series. A 40-plus yard run. Here's a snap. Rush has time. Over the middle. He's got a guy. It's caught. First down yardage. And that's Goldberg. Colin Goldberg.
That one's going to hurt.
So they move the chains again. Clock stops with 1:57. It'll probably start back up again unless Coach Buda calls a timeout here. Nope, clock continues to run now. And again, the Bears in no hurry to come to the line as they look to the sideline for a play. And they're probably going to huddle here. 16 seconds left in the play clock. Now they're going to line up. Pistol formation. Twins left, single receiver right. Tight end wing left here. I see a running play. Here's a snap. It's a handoff to Hamilton. And, boy, he pounds his way up. He's got a touchdown. Hamilton, he broke through the middle, broke some tackles, and then waltzed into the end zone to put the game on ice.
Yeah, he looked both ways, and there was nobody around him. He just
nobody
broke
there to
right
stop
out
him,
of
yeah,
that
great
front
blocking
line,
up
man.
The middle. So two big runs from the 5'8 junior from High Ridge, Missouri, Christian Brothers College High School, Kenneth Hamilton. And it all started with a 3rd and 6 deep in their own territory that he ended up taking all the way to midfield. Here it is, Varkanian for the extra point. The kick is up, and it's good. So with 1:23 remaining, it's now 35-23 in favor of the Bears of WashU. But don't go away. The Pio offense can move pretty quickly, so we'll take a quick 30-second message here on the Pio Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away, please.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Welcome back to Francis Olympic Field, home of the Bears of Washington University in St. Louis. As Chris Vartanian will kick off, Keon Miller back to receive for the Piles at about his own 6 or 7 yard line. And let's see if the Piles can answer. It's a short kick, and it's going to be taken by, it looks like, Josh Hill, and he gets knocked down to about the 29 yard line. Number 17, Spencer Snipe from Smyrna, Georgia, with the tackle there. 1:19 remaining, and Piles need a quick strike here, trailing 35-23. So, Johnny, they get a touchdown, they get the extra point, and then an onside kick. What do you say?
Easy peasy, 1-2-3-Z.
Mm-hmm. They were trailing 28-10, and they came back with two straight touchdowns.
In so we're lining minutes, up. So it could happen.
Twin packages, both sides. Ball in the left hash here, 1st and 10. Legs is on Raby's right. Here's a snap. Raby underneath the legs. He drops it a little high for legs, but probably still should have been caught. There was good coverage there by the Bear defense as Grant Purdy was closing in on him. And number 41, Riley Merrigan. 2nd and 10, trips right, single receiver left, legs on Raby's left, 1:14 remaining. Here's a snap. Raby looking to his right. He's got a guy. It's caught. Eichstad, 1st down yardage. Will be stopped at the 40. Clock will stop while they move the chains as the Pios rush to the line of scrimmage here. 1:06 remaining. Twin packages both sides, legs on Raby's right. And now the clock runs, 1:02 and counting. Raby gets the snap, looking again to his right, rolls out of trouble, and he's got somebody short. He goes out of bounds there. Sammy Muth catches a 5 or 6 yarder. So good job by Arabian Muth. 52 seconds remaining. And that was a nice outlet to have there, Johnny, with Sammy Muth.
It really was. He's going to have to hit something deep here.
There's a flag against the defense. It looks like a personal foul. Hands to the face or something like that. I didn't catch the whole.
Well, that helps with a deep ball.
We don't get, you know, you hate to criticize your host, but you don't really get to hear the audio very well from the referee like we do at the Schneid.
Yeah.
So I think that's why there's confusion on our end. Trips left, single receiver right. It's at the 39 here. First and 10 piles, 52 seconds left. Raby looking to his right. He's got a guy. Oh, just misses Josh Hill. He really had to reach out for that one. But important, more importantly, the clock stops with 47 seconds left. Second and 10. Ball at the 39. And again, I think you want to look to score from here, Johnny, because that's where the piles have had their greatest success, hitting these guys in space and letting them do their job.
I'd agree. You know, with 47
right
seconds
hash,
left,
yeah.
Let's do it.
Trips left, single receiver right, legs on Raby's right. Corners are really playing tight on the receivers. Here's a snap. They're going downfield. They got Eichstad. It's caught. Eichstad breaks one tackle, and he's brought down at the 20-yard line. And I think Coach Buda will call timeout here. Let's see. The clock stops while they move the chains.
They're moving the chains.
So piles are now in a good spot here with the ball exactly at the 20-yard line. Here's where you look to the end zone. Good catch by Eichstad and good extra yards after the catch. So both teams huddling here. We'll keep it here as we near the end of the game. And it's really been a fantastic game. And again, it's not over. Piles are not through. They had a couple good scoring opportunities that they were stopped on downs. And a huge third and six conversion into a 40-plus yard gain by Mr. Kenneth Hamilton. Put the Bears on their way to put what's right now, if you're a Bears fan, you think is that knockout punch or that that dagger
yeah.
for Wayne Laramie. But again, the Piles move the ball pretty quickly here. They don't need a lot of time if they can get the if they can get this touchdown and they can get an onside kick here. Trips left, single receiver right, legs on Raby's left. Eichstad is that single receiver on the right as J.R. Muth now goes in motion to the right. Here's a snap. Raby looking now. He's inserted. He gets sacked.
And a fumble.
Coach Buda will have to call timeout. Nope. Piles hang on. Timeout by the Piles with 31 seconds left. And the Wash U fan loving it. A key sack here late in the game. And I think they maybe, the Bears are sensing that Piles are taking a lot of time for these plays to develop, and they shortened that in a hurry. Put a good sack there on Raby. Ball's marked at the 25, so if anything, I think that favors the Piles in terms of their deep score threat. I think they want more space.
Well, the situation has certainly changed in the last 2.5 minutes.
It sure has.
You know, it just looked like we were going in for a
go-ahead touchdown.
Lead,
yeah,
lead there.
The Bear defense held their own, and
they did. We got a
And I think that's what hurt us against.
Got to bounce back from that. You got a little bit of time left.
When you're a prolific passing attack, you know the short field is harder to score on. Trips right, single receiver left, legs on Raby's right here. 31 seconds remaining. Third down, long 14, but Piles are looking for the end zone, I would believe. Here's a snap. Raby rolls out to his right. He's got it. It's caught. First down yardage there.
Should have went out.
He stays in bounds, though.
Should have went out of bounds
22
there,
seconds. And it's fourth down because he didn't get first down yardage either, so I would have called timeout here.
Yeah.
Piles are out of timeout, so I guess they don't have a choice. Here's a snap. 12 seconds. Raby's looking for the end zone here and just throws it away. Now, that'll do it. Unless there's a flag down. Let's see. Let's see what the call is here. Why? I thought that was, I guess this is fourth down.
Guess we might get one.
They got one more play left, but unfortunately it won't be, would not be enough time to allow the Bears to get an onside kick. So just really playing for respect here. Trips right, left, single receiver right, legs on Raby's right. Here's the snap. Last play of the season. Raby under pressure goes deep for the end zone. He overthrows Eichstad there.
And that's it.
And that'll do it. So the Piles fall short. to the Washington University Bears in St. Louis, who now advance to 7-3. The Piles will finish the season 5-5, 4-5 in conference. But it's really been a great experience for us, Johnny and myself, our first year covering CCIW football. And,
I really enjoyed it, Don.
You know, there's a reason this is one of the best football conferences in the country. We saw number one North Central, and we saw number 12 Wheaton in a class of their own. But we also saw some great competitors, even in the lower echelons.
Yeah.
We lost a heartbreaker at Carthage there, and, of course, another heartbreaker at Augustana. So this is a pretty deep conference with some real talent. And we've looked through these rosters, and we see some great athletes from not only around the region, from other states, but from around the country. And so it really is a credit to the caliber of football that the CCIW offers. And it's really been fun to be a part of what I call the authentic college football experience. Real fans with close connections to the students.
Yep.
A lot of parents, a lot of family members, a lot of classmates. And you know, not the season that Coach Boone and company wanted, but still a valiant effort. A lot of great moments, some records broken, some great accomplishments statistically, and certainly a lot to build on as they look forward to the future. I know they're going to lose a lot of starters here, especially in the quarterback. But, the reputation that Carroll has established here in the Buddha era, I think they're going to attract some more young talent. And, you know, who knows, this game next year, whoever it is they're playing. I think they play Wash U earlier next season, but last game of the season next year, they could be playing to be, 7-3 or 8-2.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, there was so many games this year that were really very competitive and very close up to a certain point.
Yeah.
And it's just like the tip of the scale just went a little too much, and it didn't work out for the Pios.
It sure is.
But I had so much fun. It's such great, athleticism on a lot
great
of these
brand
guys.
Of football, yeah.
And they're just such great players to watch this class act come down, okay?
It sure is.
So I just really want to thank everybody from Civic Media for Don and I to be involved with this, and everybody at the University of Carroll.
I want to thank President Dr. Cindy Nattinger and Athletic Director Mike Shulis, Director of Athletic Communications Mike Westermeyer. I want to thank Steve Staub, their athletic trainer, who actually put all this together initially. And I want to thank the students and their families, the parents, for letting us into their lives and to really experience Pio football. Being invited to the dinner, I thought, was a really nice gesture from Coach Boone, and it makes us feel like we're involved. And now we just got to get in the coaches' meetings, Johnny. I think that's where probably Coach Boone draws the line. But as long as we keep our mouths shut, But
Maybe.
It really has been a special season. And, 5-5 in the CCIW is nothing to shake a stick at. Respectable record from a good team, and people that follow this conference closely know they were just a few plays out from being 7-3 or 8-2.
Dude, these are close games to a certain point. I mean, they're just very competitive.
Yeah,
and they could go one way or the other.
Right,
with just just one thing going one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like if they would have got that first down when it was, I think the referee gave them a bad mark.
That hurt a lot.
But and that changes that thing. They were driving in for a touchdown,
and they were a yard or two short on the fourth and one. And, yeah.
So I mean, it's just so close. Mm-hmm. But it's and it makes it so much fun.
It really does. Yeah. A lot of excitement, a lot of drama, and I think a great for those who enjoy sports on radio like I do, genuinely, makes for a great fan experience too.
Yep.
So, and again, I want to thank Johnny for being my companion and color guy and being a part of this experience. We've traveled to different parts of the region we normally wouldn't go to, like the Quad Cities and the beautiful campus there at Augustana and the great accommodation. Then
should throw out
North Park there in Chicago. Johnny got a flavor of a Northside Chicago, and North Park was another good team. I mean,
that was a great game.
That could have went the other way,
right?
So, and I think that's where a lot of North Park fans, they look back and they said, boy, that Carroll game, we had those guys in the ropes. I mean,
it did.
That lead changed 7 times in the first half.
It was such a fun game.
It really was. And even after the Pios started to run away with it, North Park came bouncing back.
Yep.
So it was really a great, really was a terrific season. And
shout out to Triple G.
Shout out to Triple G. I know he's listening. Greg, thank you for all your support and participating in the home games.
Here's a guy that really knows his sports and football in particular. And
Ross Bukaritz.
Really knows Carroll University. So he's
Dean
very
Dean Parr from the live involved. Stream. That Dean Parr was kind enough to help us with the post game last week. And, again, we want to congratulate Coach Buda and company on a fine season. I know it wasn't where they wanted to be, but congratulate their seniors who have some very bright futures.
His staff was fabulous. I mean, they just always treat us so nice.
They sure have.
So they're just a class act, and they're going to get a little stronger, better, faster. Next year. So,
and that's the other thing too is you recruit kids and they realize they're going to be part of an exciting football experience. They're going to play some really good competition.
It's a few plays away from having a different outcome in a lot of these games.
It sure is. So. Well, I think that's it. Again, thanks again, Pio Nation, and for letting us come into your homes and in your cars and on your smartphones if you're using the Civic Media app. And again, I want to thank Civic Media for whose mission is to be live and local and support local sports. And, this is Waukesha's university. We are a university city. This is Wisconsin's oldest university, and we get to play fine institutions like this Washington University, St. Louis. I mean, arguably an Ivy League caliber experience here in the Midwest.
This is a really special place here.
It really is. And then, all the other fine colleges that in the conference that we got to visit their campuses and their stadiums and meet their personnel. And everyone's just been really friendly. And so it really is a fun thing to be a part of. And we're already looking forward to next season. And we're looking forward also to doing men's and women's home basketball. We hope to be set up. That's not guaranteed yet for the first game on the 14th. But we will for sure be set up when the conference starts. I know there'll be some games in December, but primarily that'll take off in January. So really, really, really excited about this growing partnership with Carroll University and also being a part of the CCIW. So final score, the Pios fall short, 35-23, a game much closer than the score. One of the most exciting games of the whole season, if not the most.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Against a great Wash U team. And they finished the season 5-5. So, but again, thank you for joining us on behalf of Johnny Watermelon. Any final comments, Johnny?
Well, kind of tag on to everything you said. I just want to thank everybody at Civic Media for giving Don and I a chance to put this together. I know Mike Crute was involved, and thank you, Mike. And everybody at Carroll University, you've been so good to us, and we're just looking forward to having another great season.
Sounds great. So again, final score. Wash U, 35, Carroll University, 23. Thanks again for joining us. Go Pios, and see ya!
'Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes. Israel says it will coordinate with the largest hospital in Gaza to evacuate babies as criticism of its attacks near such facilities roll in from around the world. Some 11,000 people have died in Gaza, many of them women and children. Israel says Hamas has been using civilians as human shields, but many Gaza hospitals have been destroyed or have run out of fuel for their generators, and some have died. Dr. Rick Brennan is with the World Health Organization.
The situation in the hospitals is absolutely desperate. 50% of those hospitals are non-functioning right now. Those that are functioning are working well below their capacity because of a lack of fuel, a lack of medicines, a lack of water.
More now from CBS's Remy Innocencio at Gaza's largest hospital.
Without shelter, under bombardment, the injured have fewer places for medical care. The clinic still open, massively overcrowded. This maternity wing used to deliver 10 babies a day. In the last 24 hours, they've had 45. Innocents born into war.
Israel's prime minister is rejecting calls for a ceasefire, saying the battle with Hamas will continue. But the Saudi foreign minister says,
we have the weight to be able to push in that direction. And I am sure that we will do all that we can.
Demonstrations over the Israel-Hamas war are roiling the nation in the U.S., including this pro-Palestinian protest in front of President Biden's home in Delaware. This is President Biden honors troops on this Veterans Day and remembers his fallen son, Bo, who was an Iraqi war veteran.
On this day, I can still see my son, the Attorney General of Delaware, standing ramrod straight as I pinned his bars on him the day he joined the Army National Guard in Delaware.
The FBI has taken electronic devices from New York City Mayor Eric Adams as part of a probe into his campaign fundraising. CBS's Michelle Miller.
It's all part of an investigation into whether Adams' 2021 campaign conspired with the Turkish government to receive foreign donations funneled through straw donors. On Friday, Adams' attorney told CBS News that the mayor has not been accused of any wrongdoing and continues to cooperate with the investigation.
Four homeless people died in Anchorage, Alaska this week as a major winter storm dumped more than 2 feet of snow on the city. It's been struggling with a large unhoused population. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
It's falling asleep at the wheel.
I'm looking at a text from Lynn.
Oh.
Lynn sent us a text. It was a nice one. She said, Washington Island, best fast food. Schoolhouse Beach, watch the drop-off, and definitely a challenge if you have bad knees.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Lynn. And she quit. You're texting us a lot, Lynn. I think your phone's going crazy.
All right. When we come back, you found a what in your ear?
I'm not looking forward to
this. Oh, it's a dandy. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. The then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bryant. 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Greg Buck with me in studio. Calvin on the board. And new mom Kristen Bryant joining us on StreamYard. If you want to watch the live stream, you can always find it on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm not going to call it that other thing. I refuse.
Totally called it that the other day.
I know. I slipped, and I will never forgive myself. Bite me, Elmo. Anyway, we were taking some texts on how much you pay for childcare. I'm just curious. And Michael, checking in, he says $255 a week for a newborn in northwestern Wisconsin. And that's low end compared to what other people pay.
That is low, especially if it's full time.
I mean, for a newborn?
Nine to five.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Sarah says, leashing your kids is nothing new. My 68-year-old father still tells stories of his parents leashing him to the clothesline so he wouldn't run off.
That's funny.
I would do that.
You would do that. I could see that.
Or duct tape, you know.
How was babysitting, Jane? Easy.
Easy. It was super easy. I knew where she was the entire time. All right. The good, the bad, and you found a what stuck in your ear? This is in Missouri. 29-year-old Desiree Kelly woke up at 5 a.m. on October 18th with a strange fluttering sensation in her right ear. Initially, she thought this was just a tassel that's on the comforter, and she went back to sleep. But when she woke up, she considered going to urgent care. She almost talked herself out of going because she thought, this is all in my head. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. But her fiance begged her to go in, so she went to the urgent care. This is when Desiree said she's waiting in the waiting room, and I felt something move in my ear. It felt like something was at the base of the eardrum. In that moment, I was convinced it was wax, and I started crying. One, because it was uncomfortable. Two, I was embarrassed that they're going to look in my ear and tell me it's wax and tell me I'm doing a terrible job cleaning out my ears. That is not what happened. A nurse noted something in the ear and told her, well, it definitely isn't a moth. She had never even considered.
Exactly what you want to hear.
She had never even considered it could be a moth. Not a moth. The nurse tells her it's curled up in the back. Now the nurse started treating the ear while you irrigate it with water. And then they have a bowl underneath you. We're dumping the bowl and we dump the bowl probably three times. And then she goes over to the sink to get more water. While she's refilling the bottle, I felt it moving at the back of my ear, and she rushed over telling me, put the bowl up to your ear, quick! That's when she saw a black object fall out of your ear onto a sweater. It was a spider. I watched something jump from my shoulder to the ground, and then I watched it crawl away. That's when I realized it was a spider that was still alive. I was looking at it. It wasn't small. It was about the size of a nickel. Luckily, there was no damage to the eardrum, no medication. And additionally, this is good news. Her ear free of spider parts and spider eggs, which is always how you want that to wrap up. But now she said, she said essentially she will never go to sleep now without wearing earplugs.
Is that what we're all supposed to be doing? Is just to prevent this from ever happening? Because I know it's not common, but it's not.
It's not
I feel
that
like these stories.
It's happened before.
I just want to know how it stays alive in your ear, like how it doesn't like get suffocated or crushed or something. Like it can't seem like a hospitable environment to be crawling, Kristen, to be crawling inside of your ear, just doing this all the time, just trying to gross her out.
No, I can tell.
Well, I feel like, was this originally a TikTok?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw this one.
And
but I also saw it the first time, it was like 3 a.m. as I was nursing Frankie.
And oh, God.
Like, oh, God. Because I don't know. This is it's funny because I think Todd Alba is starting to do What's Worse as a segment every day. And this, which is, you know, is a little bit like, would you rather? And it's like, would you rather have a spider in your ear moving around or compared to what? Like, or compared to last week, where would you rather be in a house full of thousands of bats?
I think I'd rather
inescapable
spider, because
you would probably
bats requires spider. A shot,
rabies,
and the whole thing. Although, I mean, hey, if they get some money from Airbnb,
they're both pretty bad.
Yeah, they're not.
Is this what we're gonna do now every week? Let's just find a story to just completely disgust Kristen. The good, the bad, and make Kristen go,
"Ugh." Oh, that was creepy. It might be. All right, what's coming up for the rest of your day today, Mama Bri?
Well, we're still trying to get on a schedule of some sort. The next big thing is I'm going to try to take her to the grocery store because I'm going to try to make some lactation cookies.
Fun. Have like
oatmeal and a bunch of stuff in there. I actually, because I saw you guys have Mr. Matt Wild coming up next, and I saw that they, which is so on brand for Milwaukee Record, to be doing a casserole cook-off.
Awesome.
And so, but I cooked a casserole last night. And so I'm kind of in a cooking thing right now, because cooking feels like something I can do, because she really likes the carrier, like the soft carrier where she's on my body. But because like just putting her and leaving her in the bassinet, I think she just wants attention sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
And so what can I do when the soft carrier, like with her on me, it's kind of a workout, but it's like I can cook. So those are probably cooking some cookies that are somewhat healthy is coming up for today. Maybe going for a walk if it doesn't rain.
Looks like rain let up.
A little bit.
All right. And then maybe, I don't know, attempting to do some other to-do list type things. But, you know, always optimal word being attempt.
Yeah.
Well, all you can do is try, right? All you can do is try.
I just want to say really quickly, Bridget made some very, they weren't casseroles, but they were very wintry comfort foods. She made chili. Her chili is amazing. Then she made a cream of chicken, I guess a casserole, but it's just not in the casserole dish, with mushrooms. And then she made marinated steak stroganoff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, all in one day?
She made two in one and then one the next day.
Does she freeze them so you just have them for whenever you want?
They're gone in a week.
Oh.
Yeah. We plow through those immediately. And she'll make, I don't know, probably like 5 gallons of chili throughout winter. She just makes it, and that's it. Nice. It's amazing.
All right, well, stick around. We have the news coming up next, followed by Milwaukee Records' Matt Wild will be joining us. Thank you so much, Kristen, for checking in with us. We will see you again next Wednesday at 10:33. Give the baby a squeeze from us.
Will do. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Don't go away. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This Veterans Day, Civic Media would like to give thanks and recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom and wish everyone a safe and happy Veterans Day. This message made possible by Divine Paint and Decorating in Delafield. Your full life.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes. Israel says it will coordinate with the largest hospital in Gaza to evacuate babies as criticism of its attacks near such facilities roll in from around the world. Some 11,000 people have died in Gaza, many of them women and children. Israel says Hamas has been using civilians as human shields, but many Gaza hospitals have been destroyed or have run out of fuel for their generators, and some have died. Dr. Rick Brennan is with the World Health Organization.
The situation in the hospitals is absolutely desperate. 50% of those hospitals are non-functioning right now. Those that are functioning are working well below their capacity because of a lack of fuel, a lack of medicines, a lack of water.
More now from CBS's Remy Innocencio at Gaza's largest hospital.
Without shelter, under bombardment, the injured have fewer places for medical care. The clinic still open, massively overcrowded. This maternity wing used to deliver 10 babies a day. In the last 24 hours, they've had 45. Innocents born into war.
Israel's prime minister is rejecting calls.